Revelation 14, continuing on from verse 11 on down through 20. In verse 12, it says, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So verse 12 tells us the tribulation saints are to keep the commandments of God and faith of Jesus. So see, there's works involved. That's folks are going to have to do some works in the tribulation. Right now in the church age, you put your faith in Jesus Christ. It's saved by grace through faith and the finished work on Calvary. Now, when God wraps the church age up because people rejected his son, they're going to go back into works and faith. And that's one verse that shows it right here. There are many more, but that's one that shows it right here. And let's see. Verse 13 refers to martyrs in the what period? Tribulation period. Tribulation period is also known as the time of Jacob's troubles and a time appointed unto Daniel's people. So that's how we know that that's all about the Jews. In verse 14, it says, I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. In verse 14, the Son of Man is referring to Jesus Christ. Remember, he's called the Son of Man and Son of God. We talked about this in the Gospels, how the Gospels, you know, we got the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and how Matthew is geared so sharply toward the Jews, and it's showing him as king, and then we've got him as Son of Man, servant Son of God, and we've got him as God himself in John. So Jesus Christ is Son of God, and he is the Son of Man. So that's who it's talking about here in verse 14. And then it starts talking about this sharp sickle. Let's see. And another, let's see. He had a golden crown in verse 14, and in his hand a sharp sickle. So the sickle and reaping mentioned in these verses is referring to judgment. It's referring to judgment. What I probably ought to do is just list all the answers down bottom and you guys plug them in instead of me giving you the answers like that. But some of these aren't found in the reading, and there could be more than one right answer sometimes. But judgment's what I'm looking for here. That is what it's referring to. And that's what's coming. Judgment. Here's one that could have a couple different answers. And number 5, Christ will separate the wheat from the tares and chaff. But you, I got the right answers right there. Both those answers are correct. He talks about that wheat and the tares and the wheat and the chaff. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. I'll give you some on your own homework out of that one. But Christ will separate the wheat from the tares, or the wheat from the chaff, whatever you want to do, whichever way you want to go with that. Either one would be correct. So this judgment we're looking at is the battle of Armageddon. And how do we know that? We know that because, well, we'll look at that here in a minute. Judgment is referring to the battle of Armageddon. I think it's Armageddon. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. That wouldn't have been nice somebody to put 3 lines there, would it? And then tell you it was Armageddon. It's an open book test, too, by the way. So you can check and make sure I'm right. So that's the Battle of Armageddon. The wine press is the great wine press of the what of God? Wrath of God. You know what he's going to do? He's going to trample out. You know, in the Civil War, they were singing that song, which was a post-millennial garbage. The song is not even accurate. The Christians singing it, but they didn't know how to rightly divide their Bible. They thought that God was trampling out the grapes of wrath during the Civil War. And they were, you know, here it is. It's happening now. We're bringing in the kingdom. This stuff's going on. But that's what he's talking about later. When he's talking about trampling, when they're singing about trampling out the grapes of wrath, it's God trampling the enemy. and squishing them like a grape in a wine press, and their blood runs bridle deep. Next one, verse 20 tells us the blood runs bridle deep on the horse. Should have been an S on that, but horse. Anyway, horse. I didn't have my wife double check these, so the mistakes are all mine. So the blood runs bridle deep, and we're talking about just a massive judgment, but it's not the final judgment. The final judgment on this earth comes when the earth burned out, but the final judgment will come with the great white throne judgment, where people will be judged according to their works. And some of those folks in the, you know, when you in a, later in the trip in the millennial reign, they'll be judged according to their works. But most of the people in the great white throne judgment are lost. Now, if they're come from the church age and they're staying at the great white throne of judgment, they're lost. The only way that anybody from the church age can go to the great white throne of judgment is if they're lost. But people after the church age will be judged according to their works. And it says, whosoever's name is not found written in the book of life, because some people will be. And remember, again, we talked about the book of life. God talks about blotting out people's name from the book of life. The book of the Lamb, the Lamb's book of life, you can't be blotted out of. The Lamb's book, the book of life is everybody that's ever born. But God will blot it out if certain people, he will blot out like they never existed. But the Lamb's book of life, you can't be blotted out of, because you're pinned in there with, that's your second birth. The second birth puts you in the Lamb's book of life for us. You can't be blotted out. You're put in there by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the book of life, everybody's in, and some people will be blotted out. The Lamb's book of life, for saved folks in the church age, you can't be blotted out of. God will not blot you out. Because, why? Because of his son. His son paid the debt. So you could get in that book and stay in it. And the Free Will Baptist left the conversation. Amen. But you're blotted in or blotted out if you're lost and out of God's will. At one point, you blot people out, but saved people are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's why there's a difference between the Book of Life and the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what it is. I can't remember where it's at, and I should have looked it up today because I thought about it when I was running around, you know, taking care of business and stuff. But there's a verse, a segment of Scripture in there where, in the Bible, I think it's in Matthew, that the charismatics really enjoy, which if they understood what it really said, they'd get away from that verse. But it talks about, I think it might be in John. I can't remember where it said. He says, I'll baptize you with water, and everyone comes after me and will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And then another verse, I think, is in Matthew, talks about Jesus Christ baptizing with the Holy Ghost and fire. So he said, part of that. I don't know if he said that whole thing or not. I'm trying to remember where that was. Let me look real quick and see if I can find it. Anybody else have a good concordance? You might just look up fire. That's we'll figure that out here. I was thinking it was in Matthew, but it could be in John. I think the first one I was in John, and the second one was in Matthew that I had mentioned there. Because John said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. But I think Matthew's the one that says, be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Matthew what? That sounds right. Yeah. Okay. There. Here's the thing. Let's look at this verse. Let's look at these verses and put them in context. Allow them to be in context instead of taking them out. How about that? I indeed, verse 11, baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So how's he gather the wheat into the garner? That's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The fire is judgment. The fire, it just tells what it is in the next verse. When it says, baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, the Holy Ghost is saving people, and that fire is burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So when the charismatics are going, oh, send down the Holy Ghost and send down the fire, they're asking for judgment. They're asking to be consumed by judgment. And that's because they don't rightly divide the book. If you just read those two verses together, you can see that the reason he's the Savior and he's the judge. He baptized with the Holy Ghost. He puts you in Christ. He's not going to burn you up with fire, right? He puts you in Christ. That's why he talks about the wheat and the chaff. But he's going to do the same thing at the Battle of Armageddon. Some people are not going to be worthy to be here anymore. He's going to take them out, trample them. But how are they worthy in the tribulation? By faith and works. Right now, you're worthy by faith in his works, not ours. It has nothing to do with our works. But see, what they're talking about there is salvation and judgment. So Christ is coming for salvation and judgment. And, well, he came for salvation the first time. When he comes back, he's coming for salvation and judgment. Matter of fact, that's what John the Baptist says. John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1 is talking about that Jesus Christ came to redeem Israel. So when you're looking at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, remember before Calvary, you're looking at a Jewish setting where he's dealing with the Jews. So he came to redeem Israel, and he came to save them from their enemies and those that want to hurt them, and he came to give light to those who are in darkness, which is Israel. We can also spiritually apply that to the church, but doctrinally, that's applying toward Israel. And to save them from their enemies, guess what? He's going to do that in the future. He came the first time to do that, but since they rejected him, he's going to do that the second time. They were in bondage when he came. He was rejected, so he turned to the Gentiles, and they're still in bondage. They're in bondage today. The Jews are. If Jesus Christ was sitting on the throne, there wouldn't be a rocket fired into Jerusalem right now. You think the Star Wars defense plan and all that stuff's great? And their laser technology and all that? Jesus Christ sits on that throne, them rockets are done. So, that's one thing I wanted to bring up there, because you'll hear a lot of people go, oh, send down the fire, send down the fire. And they get all goofy with that stuff because they use that verse and they use Acts where it talks about they spoke with tongues, cloven tongues, as of fire. They weren't talking about fire, saying like fire. So it was showing a power, it was showing a fire consuming, like being consumed with the Holy Spirit, not consumed by the Holy Spirit. So they get the fire thing kind of mixed up. Well, kind of, it's very mixed up. And it doesn't say it was fire, it says it was like fire. And also we know from our study on tongues that anytime you're looking at tongues in the Bible, you're looking at a written, spoken language that people understood. The thing was that somebody that never spoke this written, spoken language would understand it in their language because the Holy Spirit translated it when it went through the air. Now, think about this. If the Holy Spirit can translate it when it goes through the air, do you think the devil can mess with stuff when it goes through the air? He's the prince of power of the air. You ever wonder how you're sitting in church sometime and maybe you're not in the will of God, you haven't been praying? I know everybody in here comes in, you're just crystal clear. I'm the problem, right? But you guys come in here, you come in, you've been dragging, you've had a bad week, the flesh has been whooping on you, and you come in and sit down, and something will be preached out of the Word of God, and everybody go, amen, and you go, I can't believe you said that. I cannot believe that. The devil does something between here and there, and instead of you hearing what God says, the devil says, the preacher says this. The preacher's after you. He's been reading your mail. He's looking in your window. He knows. And the Holy Spirit's going, no, 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 no. And the devil's going, it's him. It's you. If I was you, I'd do this. I'd quit. I'd never come back. And just to be honest with you, sometimes I'm sitting up there and look at people's faces, and I go, good night, man, what happened? The devil's like, you might as well just walk out. You done lost everybody. But the battle is so real, you know. I just thank God if somebody's just asleep sometimes anymore. It's like, at least I'm not wondering what I said. Did I cuss or something? What's the bet look for, you know? Oh, yeah. But then the devil gets in there and messes it up. Instead of you going, Lord, I want to get this right, you might go, why is he doing preaching to me? You know, why is he picking on me? Well, I'm not saying I'm used to the attack or I'm challenging the devil to ramp it up or anything, but it's real. It's just the way it is. I heard, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah. 3:11 and 12. Matthew 3:11 and 12. That's where it talks about two baptisms, one with the Holy Ghost, one with fire. And the Holy Ghost is salvation, being put into Christ, and the other one's being judged as lost for a church age. That's the practical application for it. But there's also going to be a fire judgment at the end. Remember, he calls down fire and devours them at the Battle of Gog and Magog. So the application is many-fold, but the doctrinal, direct doctrinal application is for Israel. I heard Brother Ruckman say, I think it was a message back in the 80s. I didn't hear it in the 80s, but I heard a message he preached back in the 80s. And he said something about, talking about the last place you can actually hear the truth now is an independent Baptist church, because everybody else has left it. I mean, really, when you go to most churches, what you're going to get, this was back then, and we are way past that. But he was saying, you know, you get in there and you got a mix of people. You got this ecumenical audience, and you've got, let's say you got 10 Jews and 10 Mormons and 10 Jehovah's Witnesses and 10 Lutherans and 10 Catholics and 10 whatever, you know, just mix them all up. What are you going to preach on? You're just going to go in there, and the only thing you can say that's the truth that won't upset everybody in there is it's a lovely day and we're all lovely people. And God, well, no, somebody loves you. We don't want to mention God because there might be 10 atheists in here. And you know what? That's real. And I'll tell you how I know it's real, because that spirit of compromise is real. And when you're on that side of that podium, that pulpit, and the Lord's going, put the pedal to the metal, and the devil goes, you don't want to say that. You're going to upset somebody. You know? It's just the same way with handing out tracts. You get the same battle there. You don't want to do that. They're going to be upset with you. These people have known you all their life. They love you. They've been nice to you. You don't want to give them a tract. Get in a fight. Remember, two things we never talk about, Jesus or Jesus. Because everybody talks about politics, they just say they don't. Amen. But, you know, religion and politics, it's because it upsets people. Well, if you're going to upset people over Trump, don't waste your breath. But if you're going to upset them over something eternal, like salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, it's the battle. Brother Robert? Yeah. They're women, yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you. Well, I was I was in factory work and stuff for a while, on the road crew for Missouri Highway Department for a while, and in factory work for a while. And I believe the Lord didn't allow that stuff to work out and move me on out of that, because I wouldn't have made it. There's just too much bad influence in that stuff. He knows I'm weak. But he was good to me and moved me out of that stuff. I mean, what's that? Yeah, I mean, if they could throw out the worst words in the world and you go, well, that's the way it is. But if they went and said, this guy won't quit talking about Jesus, they'd say, look, you're going to have to quit that now. You're going to have to quit that, because that's not acceptable in the workplace. Because the workplace environment is a filthy environment for the most part. You know, it's unfortunate, but it's true. But and it's the funny part is the devil can use that place, because you're stuck there. You're on the clock. You got to get your paycheck, and he can just ramp it up. Especially if you're having a bad time and you're having a rough time and struggling, he can really get you when you're stuck somewhere on a time card. You know, you can't leave, and you're going, I got to get out of here today. You know, when's 4 o'clock? Come at 3 o'clock, whatever. You know, but yeah, it's crazy stuff. Okay, what else do we want to talk about? Any questions or comments on what we went over tonight? Oh, yeah. Did you guys, the few questions we had for last week? Okay. What was the question? I can't remember which questions. What order the questions were in? Oh, yeah, verses proving. Yeah, other than Revelation 14. Yeah. Yeah. The whole Romans 11 is just telling the Gentiles not to get cocky, because God's not through with Israel. And the reason God's going to turn away from the church is part is pride. Here we are puffed up because, oh, Jesus loves me. And he, you know. And most of the people that are claiming to be saved don't like Israel. And they think, we've replaced Israel, God's through with them. And really, if you look at what Israel's done against God compared to what the Gentiles have done, I mean, the Gentiles were dogs, vomit, garbage, nothing, not even a people. And God took them to provoke the Jews to jealousy. He didn't do it because we were so great. He did it because he loved the Jews so much and he wanted to get them back to him. So that's part of his plan, was to provoke them to jealousy by going, you don't want me? I'll go to the dogs. I'll go to the people that you guys aren't even supposed to be around. You know, the Samaritan woman. You know, going down the line of the people that Jesus dealt with, the Jews wouldn't, as he was turning from the Jews to the Gentiles. Brother? Well, in a sense, I think most of it's because they are going to glorify him like nobody ever glorified him when he gets them out of the mess that they're in. At the end of the tribulation, when Jesus Christ comes back, they're going to actually be thankful for Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, they're going to be more thankful for Jesus Christ than most of us are. Seriously. I mean, if we were stuck somewhere waiting for a bird to drop off our bread in the morning, thinking we might be beheaded any second, and he comes back to save the day. Here I am to save the day. Every superhero on TV wants to be Jesus. Yeah, they're going to take him as their Messiah, and he's going to rule for 1,000 years. And the interesting thing is, he rules the world from Jerusalem. The world hates Jerusalem. He's going to rule the whole world from Jerusalem, whether they like it or not. That's the rod of iron part. So yeah, Romans 11, and there's another couple other places that come to my mind as far as God's not through with Israel in the New Testament. Anything else? Anybody else? The dog ate your homework?
The question is,
First of all, we have a difficult time with this. We have a difficult time. There are four words we have a lot of trouble with. Want and need, like and love. If you like something, because you see it, you might like it. Man, I like that car. If you get that piece of junk home and you got to start working on it, you may not love it. So we may not like Israel, but we love them because God loved them, because Jesus Christ died for them. He died for the world. And also, everything that they're doing, they got from the Gentiles. They're not doing anything over there the Gentiles weren't doing when Jesus was walking this earth. That's why they were the dogs. They were godless heathens doing anything. And Jesus Christ said, that's one reason it provokes them to jealousy so much. And they hate the idea of the church. Is that all the filthy, wicked stuff that the Gentiles were doing, and because they rejected Jesus Christ turned to the Gentiles. But he didn't just turn to the Gentiles because... Let me take this back. Let me try to rephrase this. When the Jews were running from him, the Gentiles were running to him. Remember? Even the dogs eat the crumbs off the master's table. He said, I want that. I like that. Somebody's going to worship me, and I'm worthy. So the guilty ones, it's pretty much like jail ministry. When you have a jail ministry, Jim could tell you about this. Those guys are guilty, and 99.9% of them know it, and they're willing to listen to the truth. Now, they're going to give the truth to the judge or the police, but they're willing to listen to the truth and the Word of God. And the Gentiles were guilty, and they knew it. The Jews didn't think they were guilty. But the Jews were not only guilty, but they had rejected the true God to take on false gods. The Gentiles never really had a true God. They had to go to God through the Jewish system, which is what's going to reoccur later on. But, yeah, it is tough, but to love them, I mean, they were wanting to chop Paul's head off. He didn't like them. But he loved him. He was willing to go to hell for him. But that was the Holy Spirit. It does take the Holy Spirit. If you've been married over 15 minutes, I joke. If you've been married 50 years, you've been married 5 years. 20 minutes. I feel like Abraham, you know, if you give us five. So you've been married for a little bit of time, you realize you can love somebody and not like them. Seriously? I guarantee I don't even like me sometimes. So I know my wife someday can go, I don't like him. I love him. You know, a trash truck fell on him, it wouldn't bother me either. No. But, you know, there's a difference between like and love. And we don't like what Israel's doing. But we love Israel because God loved them. And another thing, like you say, you don't know which ones are which. God's the only one who knows which ones are which. But it's obviously that even the remnant is wrong right now. But the remnant's going to get right. Going to be a remnant that gets right out of that. So yeah, the whole Jew thing is trying to separate the words like and love. You can love them and not like them. God loved the whole world. He gave his only begotten son. He didn't like the world. Didn't like what the world was doing. I think that's the answer. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He loved the world so much that even though he didn't like anything that was going on in it, he was willing to send his son to die for it. I think that's probably the easiest way to try to understand that. But you're right, it is difficult. When you're looking at, you know, the pride of Netanyahu and people like that, when they're quoting Bible, and they're quoting Bible, they're quoting Bible things, but they really don't know that God anymore. So they've got a form of godliness, if you will, but denying the power thereof. They really don't have that relationship because they missed Jesus Christ as their Messiah.